So if you were to wander out into the night tonight where I live in our home, we live in a subdivision where there are lots of houses on the bending streets, and you would notice this. You would notice that the entire street is lined with cars. And that's because deep in the human soul, there's a longing for home. And people come home for Christmas when they can. And that's why in every year when we can, we go to Frankenmuth and we go through that huge Christmas store, and I'm usually only looking for one thing. You know what that is? It's the bag of raspberry candies that are filled with jelly. And the reason that I'm looking for those is because they were beside my mom's chair when I was a boy, and deep in the human soul is a powerful longing for home. Am I right? Even if your home wasn't all that good, and even if your people are kind of weird, you have a longing for home. I heard once about a guy, he thought he was alone in the house, but he wasn't. And he walked over to the hall where there was a grandfather clock. The grandfather clock had been in his grandfather's home. And without thinking anybody was looking, he opened up the clock and he stuck his head inside. And after a while, he heard his wife say, "What are you doing?" And he bumped his head and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry." He said, "This grandfather clock was in my grandparents' house and they've been gone for so long, but when I put my head inside the clock, it smells like their house." Deep in the human soul is a powerful longing for home. And that's just the way it is. And that's why there was a young man in his 30s, I think. He was a chaplain in South Vietnam. And at Christmas time, he went to his tent, and he opened up a card table, and he got his typewriter out. And he took paper, and he rolled paper into his typewriter in the heat of the jungle in December. And he thought about home far away, Michigan, and snow, and family, and driving to the family. And he wrote a little story called Four More for Christmas. And then he took that story and he folded it up and he sent it across the miles to home where we read it when I was a kid. That young chaplain, my dad, demonstrated what we all know. Deep in the human soul is the powerful longing for home. And I will tell you why that is. It's because God, the one who created everything, he's the home of our soul, and he calls us home to himself. And that's a powerful longing that all of us have because God, our Creator, put it there. That's just the way it is. God himself is the creator of our soul. And that longing was put there by him. So I'm in Tim Hortons not too long ago, and I'm ordering my coffee from a girl there. And I say, "So do you celebrate Christmas?" Always I want to ask people that. And when they say yes, then I go, "Merry Christmas." If they say no, I'm like, "Okay. Happy holidays." This doesn't have the same ring to it, does it? "Merry Christmas," I say to the girl. She goes, "Yeah, my family is so weird. You know, I go home for Christmas, and the only way I can handle it is just to get drunk." So she's standing there in Tim Hortons and says, "Yeah, I got to get drunk to go home because my family is so weird." I hope your family's not that weird, but, you know, it's true for a lot of us, am I right? But there's still this longing that God put there. In the scripture, there's a list of remarkable and noteworthy men and women. It's in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And it's a beautiful passage that talks about the exploits that these remarkable men and women did in the world. And it also tells why they had this powerful ability to do these wonderful things. Let me read the passage to you. It's from Hebrews chapter 11. And verses 13 to 16, "These men and women of faith that I have mentioned, they died without ever receiving all that God had promised them, but they saw it all awaiting them on ahead, and they were glad because they agreed," listen, "this earth was not their real home." You ever notice you never did have a perfect Christmas? We only see perfect Christmases on television. But in real, and it's pretty close to a perfect-looking Christmas tonight. I mean, the snow's falling on Christmas Eve, and you get home without going in the ditch. It might be close to a perfect Christmas for you. But really, because we're so imperfect, no Christmas is perfect. And here's what the Bible's message is saying. God is perfect. His son Jesus is perfect. We don't have to be perfect. And if we have him and he's always present, he's perfect. No Christmas is ever going to satisfy us. No human family is ever going to fully satisfy us because we're all broken and we're all messed up. But we have that deep longing in our souls. That longing is a longing for the true home of our soul. God is the true home of our soul. And so it says here that they saw it all awaiting them on ahead. They were glad. They agreed this earth was not their real home. But they were just strangers visiting down here, and quite obviously, they talked like that. They were looking toward their real home in heaven. And if they had wanted to, they could have gone back to the good things of the world, but they didn't want to. They were living for heaven, and now God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has made a heavenly city for them. This earth isn't all there is to it. And that's why what makes Christmas such a powerful story is it's the story of how God sent his son Jesus away from home so that we could go home to God, that Jesus would die on the cross. And it was an agreement that he had with his father that in dying on the cross, he would pay the penalty for your sin. He would pay this penalty for my sin. He would pay the penalty for your shame and for your guilt and for your past and for your mistakes and for your messes. That Jesus would pay for all of that, and that we would simply believe and trust in him, and he would give us a clean slate with God, and we could make our way home to God. God sent Jesus away from home so that we could go home to God. That's why believers, we repent of our sin. We don't want to run our lives. We want Jesus to run our life, and we want our souls to go home to God. Now, Jesus loved to identify. He was called the Good Shepherd, and he loved to identify with the shepherd, which is really interesting because if you go to the Holy Land, as I have, you see that the shepherds there are often like either old men or they're young boys. They're often, the young boys are like our dancers tonight, extremely agile and ability to climb up into high places on the mountains. It's actually kind of frightening. It's actually shocking to watch a young shepherd make his way ambling through the mountains in places where you and I wouldn't even want to walk because we would be afraid. And they would actually hazard their lives for the safety of their sheep. And Jesus talked about this. He was an itinerant preacher. So as he traveled around, you notice it's woven through the Gospels in different places where Jesus loves to talk about himself being a good shepherd. Like, for instance, in Luke 19 and verse 10, it says that Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. In other words, people who hadn't yet found their home or they drifted away from their home. Why did Jesus come as the baby in the manger? He came from heaven to earth to seek and to save people who were far from home. And in Matthew 18 and verse 12, he says this, "What do you think if a man has a 100 sheep and one of the 100 sheep has gone astray?" Listen to this phrase. "Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains? Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search that one sheep that went astray?" This is what Jesus wants you to know. You may be one in a multitude of other people, and you may feel alone, and you may feel guilty, and you may feel like you've made too many mistakes in your past. There's too much heartache in your past. There's too much shame in your past. There's too much guilt in your past. Listen, Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd, would leave behind all the good sheep, and he would hazard himself out into the mountains to look for you. He came into this dark world to bring the light to you, to bring you home. And in Jesus we're home, and in Jesus we're forgiven, and in Jesus we're reconciled, and in Jesus we have life, and in Jesus we're included, and in Jesus we're accepted, and in Jesus we're understood, and in Jesus we're fulfilled forever. And that's the only home of our soul, and that's the only way we're ever going to find satisfaction. You have this tonight. When you light your candle tonight and you sing the songs tonight and you're lighting your candle, some of you are going to take your candle and you're going to light the candle and you're just going to say to God, "Jesus, here I am again. You know I love you.
You know I'm devoted to you. I love you and I appreciate that you've forgiven me. I want to renew my consecration to you. I want to renew my love for you. I want to renew my loyalty to you. I want to thank you again. But some of you are here tonight and you're going to say, okay, God, now I'm coming home. I've been a long way away. I've been out in the dark. I want to come into the light and I want my sins forgiven. And I want to know I have a home in heaven, and I want my life to be different. Will you take me? And he'll say, that's why I came. I came to go out on the mountains and seek those who were lost. How beautiful is that? Jesus loved to tell stories about people who were far from home, coming home. I heard a story like this. There was a girl who lived up in Traverse City years ago, and she actually had a pretty good life. She had a mom and dad who loved her, and she lived in a cherry orchard up in Traverse City, and she had a big golden retriever dog. And she loved that dog, and she loved her life, but she went downstate once, and they went to the big city, and they traveled around a little bit, and she thought it might be kind of interesting to kind of taste and see what the world had to offer that her parents had always warned her about and her friends had always kind of talked about. And so one day, she actually ran away from home. And she went downstate and found a place in Detroit, and there she lived for a while. And then people made her promises, and they invited her to parties, and they involved her in things. She defiled her conscience, and she got involved in things that she was told she really shouldn't get involved in. And at first, they seemed like they were fun, and they were exciting, and they were interesting. But then after a while, her life began to get really hard. And after a while, her friends began to turn their back on her. And after a while, she was hungry, and she was cold, and she was poor, and she was used. And she thought, well, I really ought to go home, but I can't because my parents are going to be so disappointed in me. The people in my family are going to be so hurt with me. They're not going to welcome me home. It was a cold Christmas time when she finally decided that years ago she would call her parents and she would ask if she could come home, but nobody answered the phone. Those old answering machines, the answering machine came on, and so she spoke into the answering machine. Mom and Dad, I've done some terrible things that you're not going to be proud of, and I'm cold, and I'm hungry, and I'm sad, and I know you probably don't want me to come back, but I want you to know that I'm going to be getting on a bus, and I'm going to be coming home. And I'll be home on Christmas Eve. And if you want to see me, I'll be at the bus station. But if you don't want to see me, I'll understand. And then up across Michigan, the bus went that night. And then finally she got off at the bus station. And the bus station was pretty empty, and it was pretty dark. It looked like really nobody was there. She decided that she'd go in anyway and use the restroom. And she got off that bus with her head down, and she walked into that bus terminal. And when she got into the bus terminal, as she stepped in, the lights came on. And there was her family. Her dad was there. Her mom was there. Her whole family were there. They had those crazy party things with hats and noisemakers. And they began to shout. And they said, welcome home. You're welcome home. You know, if you're perceptive, that we made that story up. Jesus was the one who really told the first story like that. It was the story of the son who went far from home. And then the father longed to see him come back home. And he longs to see you come back home too. You know what I'd like to suggest tonight? I'd like to suggest that tonight before we go home and as we light our candles and as we pass the light from row to row, that we have a time with the Lord. And if you already know the Lord and you love him, that you just tell him that. It's in your secret heart and in a silent prayer or in a whispered prayer. You just say to the Lord, Lord, I love you. I'm grateful for you. I'm thankful for you. I want to live for you this year. I'm going to light this candle, and it's going to be symbolic of my devotion to you and my love for you. You just take the opportunity to make it a time of consecration for you. And if you're far from God, you sure come to the right place. He's so eager for you to come home. His heart longs for you to come home to him. He sent his son Jesus into the world not to gather good people together, not to gather good people that would make him look good, but he came looking for broken sinners
people with a dark past that want to have a bright future. And as we light our candles tonight, we light our candles with thanksgiving to Christ, the Christ child, that he came into this world, that he loved us, that he gave his life for us.